Today's presenter is Dr. Stephen Deppen, Assistant Professor in Department of Thoracic Surgery at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. And Dr. Deppen, can I turn things over to you?
Okay, there we go. Thank you, Heidi. And welcome, everyone. Hope everyone's having a good afternoon. So this session is going to be an introduction to the Vinci Observational Medical Outcomes Partnership, OMOP, and I'm Stephen Deppen. So we're going to cover three main areas today. We're going to have a description of what OMOP is and a brief description of common data models. We are going to spend most of our time kind of walking through how OMOP is different or in addition to the existing clinical data warehouse tables. We're also going to talk about how to get access to OMOP, those tables, and the future directions that we plan for this special project. So our outline is, as said before, just kind of a background. We are currently using version 4 of OMOP and what that means. We already have in development version 5, as well as some Odyssey. When you see ODHFI, it's commonly called Odyssey. Those are some tools which make utilization of the data much easier, as well as how to get access to DART and the NDS process. So first of all, the rationale or the push to go to a common data model sort of approach is the requirement in the Affordable Care Act, as well as some push from the FDA Act to establish surveillance as well as meaningful use of electronic health records. So a common data model really is a methodology for taking various disparate sources of data from, for example, various production systems, source data systems within the VA, and adding on top of those systems both a common and coherent mapping process and a transformation of the data with additional definitions around that common data model. And that's what we're going to spend most of our time discussing, what that data model looks like and what it means. And so this will give you an idea of how this data might be useful for you moving forward in your research as well as in your operational efforts. So the OMOP data model is now entering its fifth version. It's an open source model. It's one of the most successful of those models. It's part of an international consortium. It has multiple successful publications around health safety, cohort creation, comparative effectiveness, as well as individualized predictive modeling. And there's a URL you can look at to get some further information on that. So the reason why VA and Vinci chose OMOP is that there's some peer-reviewed data showing that it meets the broadest needs for comparative effectiveness when looked at and when compared to other common data models. It also has a very robust open source community and development teams that have created both individual user tools as well as are creating additional versions over time to keep it a really useful and vibrant tool. And finally, as described before, one of the major positive impacts of having that common data model is essentially to be able to write code against that model and then hand your code off to someone else and allow them to replicate your results within their data environment, assuming they're running the same model. And a paper by Voss and colleagues published last year in Jamia looked at the fidelity of the data across within the OMOP model across six different sources, six different environments, and it had some of the highest fidelity, over 90% sensitivity and specificity and maintenance of data integrity across those six different sets of data. So the OMOP data set is really just an organization of source data into a set of tables, but it has some key concepts which are specific to this model. First of all, it's person-centric. It combines both verbatim data and inferred data. So code is written against the data to extract and codify things which we may not always assume per se that it would be. So for example, if someone has a infusion encounter with respect to a CPT code or an ICA-9 code, we can assume that in that same encounter, that individual is going to be getting a specific drug. And so there should be a drug, chemotherapy drug, for example, associated with that encounter and with that individual. And so the ability to combine both specific and inferred data and then describe that data using a common vocabulary and structure is what really gives OMOP and these common data models their strength. So version 4, it has a combination of table structure, and anyone who uses OMOP, this upper area outside of the gray is really, the data is relatively specific to that that entity. So, for example, the VA has regions, it has VISNs, then within the VISN it will have sets of care sites associated with it, and those care sites are organized in a certain way. So you might have an inpatient eye clinic or a inpatient pulmonary clinic as well as an outpatient diabetic clinic, for example, associated with one hospital, which is within a VISN, which is within a region. Now, in this gray area, this is where the standardized vocabulary is overlaid with the various source data. And the source data is that same CDW data, the clinical data warehouse that everyone uses currently. So we really, OMOP is really standing on the shoulders of giants, the previous effort that has gone into making those tables clean, understandable, and all the documentation and loading process to make sure that data is accurate. OMOP really is simply taking that effort and then adding a common nomenclature around it and a common map of the data from the source into a model and table structure. There we are. So to give an idea what those vocabularies, what that standard vocabulary looks like, here's an example of what is called the concept table. And the concept table is just a combination of all the various vocabulary nomenclatures combined into one source. So there are over 50 different vocabularies, and here we see the largest one is SNOMED. We also have LINC codes, which are primarily measurements and lab values, RX norm, VA product, which is specifically obviously to the VA, and over on the right-hand side here, you just have a laundry list of what all those various definitions, nomenclatures, vocabularies are. So you have DRG, IC9, and so forth. So concepts have relationships within themselves and across the data. So you might have concepts which have synonyms which have relatively similar sorts of meanings. So proton pump inhibitors, anti-nausea, etc. You might have concepts which have hierarchies. So you might have a beta blocker. You might have a type 1 and type 2 beta blocker. Then you might have a specific beta blocker ingredient, and then even a generic drug name. And so that hierarchy is what is generated or thought of as ancestors and decedents, descendants, as well as related to specific concepts when that relationship is, say, associated with CPT codes, associated with an ICD-9 code, or the like. So this is a specific example of what those vocabularies can look like. And here we see just an actual ETL diagram of the relationship between, say, synonyms and concepts, as well as the vocabulary, which is just a list of the various vocabulary tables. And again, this is just a data structure around how various aspects of data are defined. And because of that definition, it makes it easy for you to find, for example, all the beta blockers or all the procedures around the lung. So the standardized vocabulary, as mentioned before, have specific groups that define them. So the SNOMED vocabulary is around ICD-9 codes, pathology, as well as HCPCS codes. LUNC codes are primarily laboratory results. RX norm, VA class, national, the national drug, I can't remember the name of that, sorry. So it's specific to drugs, but includes not just drugs, but their underlying ingredients, and as well as indications. And these are all derived from source tables like RxOut, the barcode, as well as the HCPCS specific drug codes. So another example of a scheme of how data are combined and then classified. So we have data from various source codes, and then they're filtered through or mapped through a standardized terminology, so NUC codes or NDF codes. And then through that terminology, they gain various classifications. And these classifications tend to have hierarchies. And the hierarchies may be thick or they may be thin. There might be multiple levels, up to 4 levels, for example, of hierarchy. So a specific example here is for drug classes within the VA. And we have, again, various types of drugs in the source, as well as the different definitions based on CPCT4 and HCPCS. It goes through the common nomenclature, common vocabulary, RX norm, which generates RX norm codes, which are also related to other classes of codes and vocabularies. So to get more specific and have an example, at the most basic level, you might have a branded drug, so Prilosec, 20 milligrams. That drug is composed of an ingredient or a group of ingredients. That would be our second level here. If you notice, each has its code, a concept ID, right, as well as a specific concept code. And 8, I believe, is RX norm, while 7 is the NDF. And so within, this is a screenshot of a table list. And so you can go back to those individual vocabularies to find out definitions, as well as link across those to see where other examples of Prilosec as a branded drug, but as well other proton pump inhibitors would exist. And then at a higher level of structure, you would have chemical structures as well as contraindications and their corresponding vocabulary type, the NDFRT, as well as its individual value. So a single concept might have different value across these different vocabularies. That's where that synonym aspect comes into play. So some of the underlying common data, clinical data warehouse domains and files that have been used and combined within the OMOP data structure include patient table, RxOut, both inpatient and outpatient pharmacy, inpatient outpatient activity, vital statistics, the barcoding, as well as staff status as part of the providers, locations, institutions. And one thing of special note, dental is, for example, within the dental records, we actually have very good coded data around pack years and alcohol use. So if you are rushed to no pack years currently, anyone who is in that dental file will have mapped coded data around pack years within the OMOP database data set. So looking at some specific tables, so for example, we have drug exposure table, which is drug volumes and activity times, condition occurrence, which is conditions suffered by individuals. Commonly, we will be using the ICD-9 codes. CPT codes are also available. In the future, we'll be pulling additional conditions from problem lists as well as notes. And through natural language processing, other aspects where we can find an actual condition and then link it back to a common vocabulary. So here we have the actual data, which is in that condition occurrence table. And as you can see, it's derived from both the inpatient fee basis and outpatient diagnoses tables. And then those various condition concepts are mapped to ICD-9 codes and SNOMED codes. And here you see in the bottom all these X codes. And so where we thought a user would want to be able to go back to the original source data, or if it is a table which is heavily used and you want to make sure that you can either replicate it or do what you've done before, we've also included in those instances the actual source data for that individual instance, occurrence, or person. So another example is drug exposure. Drugs might come from a prescription list as well as from the medication records. Generally, they're administrative claim systems. Moving forward, especially in version 5, information is going to be generated as a byproduct of other procedure codes and inferred from other activity. And there's specific specific code to generate those concepts and that activity within the newer versions. And one of the reasons behind version 5 is to utilize some of that data infrastructure. Specifically with the VA, drug exposure table is derived from the barcode medication administration system as well as the outpatient pharmacy. They are mapped to either the VA product, which is a vocabulary specific to the VA, or the RxNorm vocabulary concepts. One important point and an example of future direction for OMOP development is that within those drug tables, it is difficult to quantify and standardize across drugs due to lack of units. And as you may well guess, if you're trying to standardize, say, a specific drug, ideally you would want, say, milligrams per day or milligrams per kilogram, so that when you go across different systems that might have either different combinations of drugs or different ways of describing that individual drug, having a common denominator of activity, daily dose, for example, would be the ideal. However, currently, there's no easy way of doing that. So, for example, you might have a hydrocortisone cream, which has a quantity of 120. While if you were to think about amoxicillin, that quantity would be 25 capsules at 20 milligrams per capsule. So justifying that, given how it is occurring in the source data, is actually a separate group is looking at that. And we're looking at ways to generate code and standardize that, the drug exposure as best we may. And similarly as before, we see where the source data is also available, in part for that reason, so that you can see and do some of that justification specific to your narrow question. So future directions. Moving forward, there will be two versions of OMOP available as views in DaVinci environment. Currently, they will be version 4 and version 5. Version 4 is in beta, and 5 is in final development. also the cohort and cohort error tables we will be developing in the future. A cohort table is, the way to think of a cohort table is a common definition, say diabetics, will be defined as anyone with a 250 ICD-9 code at least twice in their encounters, or HbA1c values greater than 7 occurring at least 3 times over the course of 2 years, or metformin use more than 6 months. So that is an example of a definition for a condition, diabetes. And then within that cohort table, what would then be generated is everyone who meets that definition. And then the cohort error table would then take that definition and show when individuals are within that definition in the time of beginning and end. And that's one of the advantages moving forward for this OMOP approach, is the ability to create such nomenclature as well as additional tables and data structure. So the OMOP version 5, as you can see, the data structure looks quite different. We have the same standardized vocabulary in your health system data, which is also will become increasingly standardized as we try and do mappings across locations and types of providers. We have an additional piece of health economics and approaches, with our vocabulary essentially being the same. Of note, a number of additional data, namely broad text capture, as well as dividing up the observation table into measurement, lab results, and the like, are also planned moving forward. One of the reasons why we're trying to get to version 5 as quickly as possible is that the change of structure allows mappings of concepts to extract more information for the given set of data. The other major piece is because version 5 is necessary to use the what's called the Olympus. If you notice across these the Odyssey group, they will use Greek mythology. So you will hear things like Odyssey tools and the Olympus suite for Achilles, Hermes, Circe, and Calypso. So those are all tools which will overlay the OMOP data structure and allow you to analyze and visualize your data. Also, version 5 has greater applicability to other common data models, namely PCORnet, which some of you may be familiar with, and the PCORI program, as well as, I've mentioned before, breaking out some of the larger tables into more manageable structure and more efficient structure. So for the Vinci OMOP group, some of our future plans include adding clinical registries, cardiac catheterization, for example. Currently, we have over 17 million patients with a number of medications and so forth. We look to add text notes, as well as CMS claims data and other data available, which is currently available in the clinical data warehouse. So among those, and the first one on the list will be looking at the MPL defined conditions and occurrences around ejection fraction, which was developed by Scott Duvall. And then later on, we'll look at, we'll add acute kidney injury as well as spinal cord injuries, developed by Dr. Michael Matheny and Steve Luther. And another major push will be to add the CMS and Medicaid data, as well as, when it's available, the DoD Da Vinci project, when that becomes available, that will be added as well. Other clinical data warehouse data will be added as requested. Three things which are on the top of the list currently are microbiology, which Dr. Makoto Jones, has already done quite a bit of work around trying to justify clean and make into a common, coherent data structure. Clinical assessment reporting tracking, which is a cardiac cath population, as well as the cancer registry. Another major direction, which hopefully will be available very soon, if not once OMOP is available publicly, very soon after the OMOP views become available, will be the addition of Achilles and Hermes. And I'll spend some time talking about what those analytic tools are from the Observational Health Data Systems, the Odyssey group. The tools that OMOP utilizes will be one of the aspects when implemented will really make OMOP a useful tool as we think about and go about observational research. So Achilles is a way of pulling, culling, and visualizing data. And it has some very basic data structures that will allow you to visualize. This is actually ideal in doing a sort of QA for your existing data set and making sure that you have the right distribution expected given your population, as well as you look at null values. If you see your dates suddenly drop off or the like, this is an easy way to tell when that you have the right data, as well as any holes that might exist in your data. The other tool which will be rolled out is Hermes. And Hermes is kind of like Google for OMOP. You can see here I entered in proton pump, and it gave me a list of various concepts, which include proton pump in the descriptor, in the concept name. So we see here the various concept names. Where something is red, there's not underlying data or data descriptor. And where it's blue, if you were to click that, it would go to a description of what it is, what the codes are, and what the sources for that code is. And in this case, we see this proton pump. This is fake data, so there are no counts, but it's a condition, and it comes from the SNOMED vocabulary. So Achilles and Hermes will be the first two tools rolled out, and they should happen very soon after OMOP is available publicly. Other tools which will be rolled out in the near future after the first two will be Calypso and Circe, and those are designed to help create and define cohorts. So as you can see here, you can create a set of logic inclusion and exclusion rules, or business rules. And if you notice here in this blue, it will generate SQL based upon how you dealt with your how you generated your inclusion and exclusion criteria. So it will allow you to take that. You can then hand it off to your data analyst and go to town. So how does one get access to DaVinci OMOP data structure and data tools? So if you are a researcher, you would include DaVinci OMOP as part of your DART, part of your data request. And in that case, OMOP tables and metadata tables would be added to your group of data, like other table views, and there would be links and crosswalks using patient IDs and source table IDs within that OMOP data structure that you have view capability to. That will become available as a checkbox in the future and part of the DART process. If you have operational access, then you add it as part of your NDS. And it automatically becomes part of your granted access. So current support around OMOP, there is a VA Pulse group, which is just newly made. And we'll start adding invitations to individuals as they are granted access to the OMOC tables. It has a documentation, message list, and Slack, FAQ. There'll be some example SQL available there, as well as some walkthroughs of how to think about the data structure and asking your questions. There's also, in the Vinci Help Desk, there's a concierge group specific to Vinci OMOP, and if you include that in your ticket descriptor, it will be referred to the correct people. None of this is done in a silo. I would like to acknowledge the development group, Jesse and Fern and Dr. Matheny, and especially the folks out at Salt Lake who have helped lead the group, as well as the many experts from the clinical data who we rely on heavily in their content expertise. I went through that a bit quickly, so hopefully there are some questions.
We definitely have questions, so we will start at the top and work our way down. The first question came in when you were right about on slide 21. The question is, are the X columns there to allow for joining OMOP to CDW content?
So the answer is yes, especially the patient XID. And it will allow you to go across that, and as well as, so it both allows you to link to other CDW tables, as well as include the actual CDW value, which should occur for that instance, for that patient or that drug or the like. So it is a direct copy of that source table in some of those instances as well.
Great, thank you. The next question here, when will OMOP V4 and V5 be available publicly, and what is available right now?
So right now, version 4 is in beta. I can't say when it will be available publicly, but we're looking at weeks, not months, a few weeks, hopefully. Things are going quickly apace. So in beta, if you wish access to the data in beta, if you have operational access, you can request that, and we will triage that moving forward. But as part of the QA process and so on, so that is where we are with version 4. Version 5, we have a number of the tables have already been loaded. So we are working on some of the larger tables and the larger data structures. So that is also weeks, not months. That it will be available in beta, and then it should be public as well. But I cannot say definitively when.
Okay, great. Thank you. The next question here. We have a difficult time to find CPT codes in OMOP. Which tables contain CPT codes?
Good question. So there is in the new tables, so this is actually a part of the QA process, was actually adding those CPT codes to the OMOP as an X file. So the most recent set of tables in beta actually include an X code with the CPT code as part of the procedure occurrence table. So that's why you're having problems with it. They did not exist before last week.
Okay, fantastic. The next question here. There are more than 40% of procedure concept ID in table OMOP procedure occurrence coded as zero. why?
So that is,
Oh, you want me to repeat it?
Yes, please.
There are more than 40% of procedure concept ID in table OMOP procedure occurrence coded as zero.
So the short answer is either it is a mapping mistake or those are actual outpatient individuals or medical patient where the actual value is null or zero. So it was pulled in but not in as procedure. So that is actually if the person who's looking at that and obviously is pulling that data, if they would send in a help ticket, and we can actually answer that. We are actually in the process of answering that question.
Okay, sounds good. The next question here, how to identify primary and secondary diagnoses?
So the primary and secondary diagnoses will be in, should be in the procedure table as well as you would link out to source is how you would do that from a process standpoint. So it'd be in the source tables.
Okay, thank you. The next question. Besides inpatient, outpatient, and emergency visit, am I able to identify other types of hospital admissions such as ICU admission?
So the short answer is no. Only if you would be, only if you could find a location included in the day range included. It would be how you would do that.
Okay, thank you. The next question, how do I get some specific clinical observation without ICD-9 codes, such as respiratory failure requiring mechanical ventilation?
So that if someone is on a mechanical, I'm not entirely sure so could you repeat the question?
Yeah, of course. How do I get some specific clinical observation without ICD-9 codes, such as respiratory failure requiring mechanical ventilation?
So respiratory failure would be for example, in this structure, respiratory failure would be a SNOMED code, a concept. And you would look at individuals who were to pick up that concept. Would be one approach. You would also see if you're defining respiratory failure different from an ICD-9 code, that's what I'm not entirely sure how we're defining respiratory. Are they on event because they have respiratory failure? I mean, I'm kind of struggling as how to think about your question efficiently.
Okay. That's fair. We can't expect you to know everything. the asker can send in something clarifying or.
My other suggestion is would be to especially if you have access to the OMOP tables currently, or if you have, to send in a help ticket, or I believe send me an email is going to be the best bet.
Okay, sounds good. The next question here, there is cause of death source value field in OMOP. But I found this field was mostly blank. Why?
Correct. So the underlying source tables that it came from were also blank. And so if there is enough interest in having that value, then it would be added in the future. So, for example, if that were available from the cancer registries, was death cause was the cause of death related to their cancer diagnosis, then that would then be added. But currently, we are not pulling that from source.
Okay, thank you. The next question: the text strings in OMOP, such as concept name in table concept, were they standardized terms or just the original text strings extracted from source data?
So here, the concept name. So at the base level, it would be pulled from the source data. So this concept level one is source data. And then everything past that is not.
Okay. Thank you. The next question here. For smoker and alcohol users, are there other ways to get these information from OMOP besides using ICD-9 codes?
Currently, no. However, that is one of the pushes for pulling in notes and problem lists and NLP effort around those. So that's a future effort.
Okay.
Good question.
Thank you.
And if they're not in the dental table yet, that's the other aspect. That's where we were able to pull that data from. That's the source of most of those data.
Okay. The next question here, will this generate data to use with other analytical software such as SAS or Stata?
So you will be getting, as a researcher, you'll be getting essentially the same sort of data set as you did previously, however you got it. And in addition, you will have these OMOP fields and tables.
Okay.
With the tools, however, moving forward, the tools you rely heavily on R. And so much of that and much of the development is around including R, especially in the individual, the personal predictive models are all in R.
Okay, thank you. The next question here. Intel Hermes is available. How does one determine which variables are available through OMOP?
So that's part of the, in the documentation, you'll see what the vocabulary structure is. And as someone who is a data analyst and pulls that data, they will then generate queries and basically doing what Hermes does automatically. And pull a list of concept IDs or concept codes and then use that as part of their SQL code to generate views and tables as well as the underlying population.
Okay, thank you. The next question. We heard OMOP will have very complete information on race and ethnicity. Could you verify and elaborate on any other complete demographic variables that will be available?
Very good question. Let me get out of this real quick. So one of the things that OMOP that we've done with that OMOP has done is we've generated actual code where possible to reduce some of those problems. So, for example, in our patients, we have filtered out family who are not veterans. We filtered out the test patients. We've also filtered out individuals with multiple Social Security numbers. We also, if anyone has a, if any patient has multiple dates of birth, we use the most frequent version. And in a tie, we choose the first one. Similar with gender, we use the most frequent. And race, similarly. There's still a fair amount of missing race and ethnicity data in the grand scheme of things, but that's also missing in source. But in the OMOP data that you see, all of this effort has already occurred in the background, and what you see is the value after that mapping.
Okay, thank you. The next question, will you send out notifications when OMOP is available?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, I have a couple other related questions. So we're just going to stay on that topic a little bit. It's about getting access to OMOP. Can people request OMOP research access in DART paperwork that is already being submitted now so as not to have to resubmit in a few weeks? If so, how do you request since there's currently no checkbox on the form?
That, I don't know the answer to that. That's a good DART help desk question.
Okay, and so anyone who's looking for access to OMOP right now, that would be
right.
Except
for on a case-by-case basis, access to beta, if you currently have operational access.
Okay, thank you. The next question here, are there provisions for medical and pharmacy enrollment enforcement? Apologies if mentioned.
So medical, I'm not sure what medical enforcement is.
Medical
enforcement
and
policies.
Medical and pharmacy enrollment enforcement.
So what we do have is from another aspect of OMOP is we pull in from source the various drugs, and we know when drugs have started, when they have stopped. The last drug on the outpatient filled, we know their days as well as the number, quantity of pills, for example, or quantity. So in that aspect, that data is available, but I'm not sure when you say, I'm not sure what enforcement means.
That I'm not sure. The asker can send in a clarification there if they would like. We did get an update here from Jeff Sennett. Just sent in a message. If anyone is interested in the OMOP data, to send an email to vinci@va.gov, and they'll be able to help you out there. Thanks, Jeff.
Yep.
Question here, should a help ticket be emailed to vinci@va.gov? I'm assuming that's yes, but if not?
Yep. You go through the regular, yep. So the OMOP folks are just part of the help desk group. So you would, just like you would do a normal Vinci help desk question, and that will be triaged to the OMOP group as needed.
Sounds good. The next question here, is operational access to OMOP available for QI as opposed to research approved projects?
That is a VA policy piece. If you can get operational access due to QI, then yes, OMOP would be part of that suite. So I don't know if it's possible to request operational access for QI.
Jeff just sent in a note there. It is not available at this time, but we can start preparing the research community and provide updates.
Okay.
Thanks, Jeff. It's nice when he's here to throwing stuff like
I know
that
it is.
We need it.
Yeah, those are questions out of my ken.
Is there an OMOP standard cleaning process for reasonableness, consistency, duplicates, et cetera?
Yes. So as you saw previously with person, duplications are removed and so on. There is an error process around drugs as well. So seeing someone who had a refill of more than 700 days is pretty rare. And so those get kicked out. There's also part of the QA process, encounters that happen after death and so on, which are being reviewed. So that all of those processes some of those processes exist, and there is, just like with the Vinci, the CDW data, which has had a decade to go through that process, similar processes are occurring with OMOP, and the data will get better over time.
Okay, thank you. The next question here. R has great difficulty with large amounts of data and validation. Have the R-based tools been validated, and how do they successfully respond in the robust VA environment?
So testing, large-scale testing has not occurred around R. Much of the current effort is for Achilles, for example, is relatively minimal and easy, so we're not having to do giant matrices. So the long and short of it is it has not yet been tested. However, I have seen demonstrations of it and with some other tools within R of manipulating large data. It is relatively robust. But again, if you're trying to do all 16 million bets and ask a question against it, it will be problematic. So the question, the description with respect to R is correct, but part of that, part of this is going to have to be how you deal with that, and it might be that with respect to trying to run R code within Vinci and within the Odyssey tools would not be viable for something that large, and that would be something that you would then take out and run in a local environment.
Okay, thank you. The next question here. Regarding gender, the algorithm described may not capture transgendered status correctly if it occurs less frequently than other genders. Can it be revised to capture this?
So if it is occurring as such in source, that will be something, there will be a change moving forward, yeah.
Okay, thank you. We had a clarification in on enforcement, meaning restricting or filtering the cohort if the member has coverage, for example, enforcing a clean period prior to illness.
So yes, commonly when you're creating a cohort, you because we have when a drug starts and stops, as well as how much was made available at the last fill, assuming it was filled within the VA. So it would be possible for you to create, to use the OMOP data and create code to create those business rules within the data that's pulled, yeah.
Okay, thank you. And that is all of the questions that we got in. And see, we used up almost all of the question time there, so it was good that you were able to get through your slides a little bit earlier.
A lot of savvy people.
Kind of nice. Any final remarks you would like to make before we close things out today?
I just want to thank people for their time and attention. I also want to thank Jeff and Scott and Michael Matheny and others as we move forward with this project. Just two things. Remember, this is OMOP is using the effort that Vinci has already put in and trying to make better, more useful, more accessible the data that is already there. As the community becomes more robust and we make this tool better and better over time, hopefully everyone will get used to it, enjoy it, and do good research. Do good work.
Fantastic.
Thanks for time.
Dr. Deppen, thank you so much for the time that you put into preparing and presenting this session. We really do appreciate it. This, I think, will be a very accessed archive in our catalog, so we really appreciate you putting the time into this. For the audience, I'm going to close out the meeting in just a moment. When I do that, you will be prompted with a feedback form. Please take a few moments to fill that out. We really do read through and use all of your feedback. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for today's HSR&D Cyber Seminar, and we look forward to seeing you at a future session. Thank you.